Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 108 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And if you're watching the video version, as you can see, it's Saturday.
Yes, it's daylight. We both look different in the daylight.
Don't look too closely, okay?
Sunlight, vampires.
We're recording on Saturday because Seth is going on a cruise.
Shh, it's a secret. Don't tell anyone. No, we both got some travel coming up in the next week, so we'll be doing a little Saturday recording this week, and then again next week to accommodate Brittany's trip.
Yes, so yeah. Be prepared for some early streams, but if you like that, then great, and if you don't like it, keep it to yourself.
No, we welcome all comments.
Yes.
As long as they're civil.
As long as they're civil. If they're not, then the gloves come off. But anyway, Seth, how has your week been this week?
It was great. Thanks for asking. I got to head over to Disney and check out the two big new nighttime spectaculars, Disney Enchantment over at Magic Kingdom and Harmonious at Epcot. Between the two of them, I got to say, I liked Harmonious quite a bit better. Enchantment was definitely better in person than it was on the video, but it's still got some issues, in my opinion. I don't think that they use the Main Street projections as well as they could. You know, some of the musical choices are great. Some of them, the pacing and the arrangements is lacking in energy, in my opinion. The fireworks are beautiful, and there's some really creative new burst styles that I hadn't seen before. But I think the bottom line is my biggest disappointment was that I think for the 50th of Walt Disney World, I wanted a fireworks show about the 50th of Walt Disney World in the same kind of way that the 50th anniversary Remember fireworks at Disneyland paid tribute to that park's history, and the 60th too. I felt like it was just sort of your generic, polished, high-quality Disney fireworks with nothing that really was specific to the 50th anniversary. Yeah. But Harmonious was, you know, I think a lot of people are, you know, Illuminations will never leave their heart. I don't think anyone's going to be mourning over Epcot forever.
You'd be surprised.
You know, there's someone who loves it. There were people protesting the closure of Stitch, I'm sure. But, you know, I really enjoyed Harmonious a lot, but the key to Harmonious is you've got to watch where you can see the screen in that big center ring. So if you're used to watching from, like, the UK or over in, like, Norway and China area, you're not going to get a very good view. You've got to be, you know, towards the front of World Showcase or towards the very back. I watched near the boat dock that goes to Morocco, just near the Starbucks, and I had an absolutely great view, so check that out. You're going to have to stalk your spot about half hour, 45 minutes ahead of time, because word is out, the show seems pretty popular already.
That's great. I mean, I've only seen the streams of both, and I loved Harmonious. Disney Enchantment was fine, if I'm being nice. It felt more like a Disney Plus advertisement than anything. Like, look at all these things that we have on Disney Plus.
So cynical. I'm not saying you're wrong, but yeah. How was your week?
My week has been good. Just kind of preparing for going out of town soon and slowly unpacking and fixing up everything. Please don't look behind me. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. there's nothing to see here. I watched Muppet's Haunted Mansion last night.
I'm saving that one. I'm saving that.
Okay. And then right after
But thumbs up?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things.
Very cute. And I didn't really like Muppets Now. Muppets Now was kind of like hit or miss with the segments. But I know that a lot of those limitations had to do with COVID. But Muppets Haunted Mansion feels like real Muppets, not like fake corporate commodity, wheel them out every fortnight Muppets.
I'm hoping next week I can get over to Disney's Hollywood Studios and see there is a Muppets Haunted Mansion pre-show, I believe, running with the the Muppet Vision 4D show. So,
I
get to see that.
Yes, you'll have to tell me about that next week. But other than that, just, you know, same old, same old.
Yep.
I'm going to a Disneyland-esque, how the owner described it, tiki bar later this evening.
Ooh.
Very excited. It's one of, I think it's the only one in Austin. So
nope.
I'm super excited.
Well, take pictures for us.
I will. But without any further ado, let's get into the news. There's a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
First up, for all the gamers out there, Kingdom Hearts is finally coming to Switch, and you'll be able to play it laying on your couch or in bed or anywhere else you take your Switch very soon.
I wish I had a lot more to say about this, but I was an Xbox person when these were out on the PlayStation, so I actually never have played Kingdom Hearts, and from everything I've read, the lore is so intricate at this point, I don't even know where a newcomer would jump in. But I guess this game collection, if you're a newbie, I guess that would be a good place to start.
It has, I've looked into it, it has all of the games except for the mobile games that came out, because there were mobile games, and some of the DS games because they are just like not possible to remake unless you do a full 3D build. Are now movies, so all of the cutscenes have been edited together as film. They are making this collection available for purchase as one big download or three kind of chapter downloads with different sections of games in each of them. The only thing is that they are cloud-based games.
You know, I was going to ask, have you, because I'm not a Switch owner, I've been using the cloud streaming from Xbox Game Pass on my PC and also on my iPad. And it's okay for slower strategy-based games, but anything requires, you know, Twitch, fast reaction time is kind of a mess. How is the streaming cloud service on the Switch?
To be honest, I've never tried it. I've been this close to, because cloud gaming is relatively new for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
They put out Assassin's Creed Odyssey in Japan. They put out Control for cloud on Switch, but I played it on PlayStation 5. And then I think Hitman 3 was also a cloud-based game. And most people say that if you're going to play it on cloud, you better have like excellent internet connection.
That's the thing. I've got 100 megabit and it's still, I get warnings that, you know, it's not good enough. I can't imagine with your internet at your new place that you'd be able to do much cloud gaming.
But, and then the other thing is that if you're going to play it on the TV, then you might as well just play it on Xbox or PlayStation. Or even PC, because they're out on PC now. So, so I don't know if I will get this one. I asked for a review copy, but we'll see what happens just for writing purposes on the site.
Mm-hmm.
But we also don't know how much it's going to cost. If I had to guess, I would say 60 to 70 for the entire collection and probably $20 to $30 for each installment.
And if you break out what they were originally sold for, that's probably a pretty good deal. But if you've already played all these in a different format, I don't know if there's enough upgrades to make that worthwhile.
Yeah. But I mean, if the main thing you're going for is I want to play Kingdom Hearts while I'm sitting on the toilet, then
absolutely. This is your your opportunity.
Next up, a new holiday store, not just Christmas Store, but nope. Holiday Store is coming soon to Disneyland Park.
As Sam the Eagle might say, it's a celebration of all holidays, but mostly Christmas.
Yes, the mostly Christmas is definitely apparent here. This shop will be located on the corner of Main Street USA and East Plaza Street. It's called Plaza Point, and it, throughout the year, it will always celebrate Christmas, but it will also reflect the seasonal holidays and decor of the time yep. of year. So right now, if it were open, it would offer Halloween-y stuff, yep. Thanksgiving stuff, harvest season.
Someone remember Thanksgiving, please. No one, you know, we go straight from Halloween to Christmas, and no one cares about Thanksgiving anymore.
We should get a Thanksgiving parade. Bring back the big turkey.
I think Macy's has got that covered. That's a different theme park company. But Plaza Point, it looks like it is going into the Plaza Street east side of Main Street, which means it is replacing what was the Main Street Photo Company. That, you know, people haven't been developing a lot of pictures in the park for years. So if you need photo pass services now, those are going to be moved right outside the front entrance of Disneyland to a new shop there.
Gotcha. I'm really excited. I love Christmas stores, especially how they smell. So I can already smell this one, and I don't think it's open yet. They haven't said any kind of opening date, though. The way that Disney has been operating with these new pop-up experiences, they'll say it's coming soon, and then it opens a week later.
Yep.
So anytime now, if it's not secretly open already. Six Flags Magic Mountain, as a result of the new mandate in LA County, in case you were not aware, on designated days, guests will have to present their COVID-19 vaccination card or proof of negative PCR tests in order to visit parks like Six Flags and Disneyland. But to make that a bit easier, Six Flags Magic Mountain has teamed up with Clear, which you might know from air travel, mm-hmm. to help confirm your identity in order to confirm your vaccination status.
I am always jealous of the people who have Clear at Orlando Airport getting to bypass the security line. Of course, for that, you have to pay for that. But this looks like it's going to be a free app that anyone who's visiting the parks will be able to download, sign up for, and you can register if you're in California and have proof of vaccination. Should be able to register and have a digital vaccine pass that you can carry around instead of your paper pass. Do note that they are apparently only going to be enforcing this on days designated as quote-unquote mega events, which we believe means an attendance of 10,000 or more. I know we had talked a little about Universal, whether or not they were going to enforce it on all days or only certain days, and I guess we'll get that to that with our next story, but it looks like Six Flags Magic Mountain is going to be reserving this for certain designated days. But it's a good idea if you're planning on visiting Magic Mountain anytime in the near future. Go ahead and do this so, you know, if that day is designated, you'll be all set, ready to go.
I think it's a great idea. I wish other parks would not necessarily team up with Clear, but offer some kind of card storage thing in their mm-hmm. apps. Because I just bought a vaccine card holder so that I wouldn't have to, you know, bend mm-hmm. the card or get it wet or put it in a plastic bag or anything. But it would be infinitely easier if I could just have it on my phone.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of Universal, mm-hmm. Universal Studios Hollywood has begun their first week or so of this new mandate with new signage up in the parks and everything. And our reporter Carly was able to go and check it out for us on the first day.
Yep. October 7th is when it kicked yes. in. And, you know, from what I heard, attendance was not particularly large that day, but they were enforcing it right from the beginning. So, you know, while under the county order, they might have the option on days when they're under 10,000 not to check. Be prepared, no matter what the attendance is like, if you're going to Universal Hollywood, that you will need this. One thing that has changed since this was originally announced, if you are it previously announced that guests who are over the age of 18 must show a photo ID. You don't need the photo ID until November 1st. They're giving people a few more weeks to get that in order. But if you're going after November 1st, make sure you have both your COVID vaccination or negative test results and that photo ID.
And there are signs everywhere from City Walk up to the checkpoint right at the front gates. In this photo that Carly took for us, it appears that they just have a security TM looking at everyone's forms or folders or cards.
Yeah, it seems a little low tech, but it also, according to our reporter, didn't slow down the process too bad. You're already waiting there for the, you know, bag check and the metal detector. So all it takes is one extra team member further down the line checking cards. So hopefully that shouldn't make your entry to the park that much slower.
If anything, it makes me feel a little better because then I won't have to hurriedly take everything out of my bag and feel like I'm holding up the line, which is a theme park anxiety. but I'm interested to see how this continues throughout the rest of whenever this rule is in place, especially on these mega event days, how that is actually like.
Yeah.
Walt Disney World is bringing back some more entertainment, some of which we have already talked about, but some more stuff we haven't talked about yet, which started on October 1st with the 50th anniversary, like the Cinderella Castle Welcome Show, the Ragtime Piano Player at Casey's Corner, and all of the entertainment returning to Epcot.
Yes, I when I was in the park just the other night, I got to catch a little bit of Alberta Bound, which is sort of a Canadian folk rock group that's performing on the Mill stage. And they had a pretty good audience watching them. But the one that I'm really looking forward to seeing is the Matsuritsa, the Taiko drummers over in the Japanese pavilion. Definitely miss them. They are a longtime favorite.
And then this coming week at Disney's Animal Kingdom, guests visiting Asia and can see Chakranati and Cora Tinga Tinga in the streets of Harambe, and the Tam Tam drummers will be back in early November.
They've also got some entertainment coming back to the hotels. Disney Boardwalk is getting their strolling waterfront entertainers back, and Yeehaw Bob is back at the River Roost Lounge at Port Orleans Riverside, starting on October 14th.
And then, as Brian conveniently segued for us, Disney character interactions will return in November, but in a kind of modified form. If you're familiar with the selfie spots at Disneyland Paris or Shanghai Disney Resort, you'll know about the kind of socially distanced selfie situations with characters, and a similar thing is coming to Magic Kingdom with the Disney princesses at Princess Fairy Tale Hall, which we reported on a couple of months back that it was getting some upgrades potentially for the return of Mean Greets, and Mickey Mouse at Town Square Theater in his new iridescent tuxedo.
Plus Minnie, I believe, is going to be over in the red carpet meet and greet area at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And some Disney Junior characters will be back also in the animation courtyard. Just keep in mind, you know, you'll be able to get a little one-on-one time with them, but you won't be able to hug them, and you won't be able to get autographs quite yet.
Yes, we're not quite there just yet. And then on November 7th, Disney Movie Magic will be returning to Disney's Hollywood Studios with a new segment reflecting Mulan, the live-action 2020 remake.
I'm curious what's going to happen with the Wonderful World of Animation show, because that also got an update with Soul not too long ago. If that's going to, right now that's just running by itself at night, if that's going to become like a pre-show to the Disney Movie Magic, or if it's going to be put on hiatus. Right now they haven't, as last I checked, Disney hadn't updated their online calendar for that yet.
We'll keep you updated. And then on December 19th, the cast and crew of Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular will be back with the show that everyone loves. I mean, I love the show.
Very, very excited. The photo that they've included implies that the set, the setting, the stunts are pretty much going to be the same. With a new Indiana Jones movie coming out, and maybe this would have been a great time to refresh the show a little. But I guess as long as we're getting it back and the actors are getting back to work, I guess that's the best we can hope for right now.
Yes, I saw a very excited, fueled TikTok from Mark Daniel after the
Yes.
announcement came out, and everyone looks so happy to be coming back. So very
I'm
excited
wondering
for
if
them.
all the audience participation will come
Ooh.
back, if they'll still have the audience plant and guests getting up on stage close to each other. Maybe the crowd that's for Cairo will have to be a little more socially distanced.
Yeah, maybe. That'll
We'll
be
find out.
interesting to see.
December 19th.
Yes, it's a ways away, but it'll be here before you know it. Universal Orlando has announced some holiday updates for 2022, including the dates for Mardi Gras coming
Drum roll,
back
please.
February 5th through April 24th. It is Mardi Gras forever. It feels like forever once you get into like early April, late March.
Oh yeah, almost 3 full months of it. And who knows, it could always extend.
Yes.
But we do know that the parade and live concerts on select nights should return. Obviously those were both canceled due to COVID. I kind of liked the way they just had the parade floats set up in random spots around the park last year, so you could get some beads without having to camp out on the curb for the parade. But I think the big news is that some form of the food festival that they expanded into this year will come back in 2022. More international food throughout the park sounds like a good thing to me because they really had some great offerings this past year.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see kind of this sort of fully rounded out Mardi Gras celebration with the food and the parade back and everything. Plus the tribute store, which is a while away before we even see anything like it. But last year's tribute store was awesome. So
Keeps getting better and better every year.
every year. So very excited to see the return of Mardi Gras. And even closer than that, holidays at Universal Orlando will be back starting November 13th through January 2nd.
51 days and nights of the holiday parade featuring Macy's, which is coming back. Last year, you had to walk through a sound stage to see some of the static parade floats, but this year they'll be on the move through the New York sets and the rest of Universal Studios Florida. And even more exciting, the Grinch is back with the Grinchmas stage spectacular. Which I have heard is going to move inside the Blue Man Group Theater, the
Ooh.
former Blue Man Group Theater. If that's true, it should be a lot more comfortable. That holds a lot more people and does not have painful metal benches. It actually has comfortable theater seats. So that would be a big upgrade if that happens.
Do you think we could see any upgrades to the show to kind of make it bigger to fill in the space?
I don't know. They always adjust the set and the lighting and the blocking, but I wouldn't expect a whole a rewrite or anything. I think it's pretty much going to be the show that people really love.
And then we'll also get Celestina Warbeck and the Frog Choir back in the Wizarding
Yes.
World,
Love
and
those songs.
Hot Butter Beer if you're a fan.
Hot butter beer is actually now available year round, but it tastes best in the winter.
Yes. Well, if you like it, I'm a staunch hot butter beer hater. No
How
offense.
do I even talk to you? How do
I'm
we even do this
sorry.
show?
I want. Josh used to do the holiday parade the first year that they did it, and I remember going to see him in it, and I got a hot butter beer, took a sip of it, and then threw it in the trash. So
You are with hot butter beer like I am with blue milk.
I'm the same way with blue milk, though. That's also gross. Guess we'll also get to so close out their evening with the Magic of Christmas at Hogwarts Castle, the projection show in Hogsmeade. I love that show. So glad to see it come back.
Yeah, I definitely like that better than the regular Nighttime Lights. Might even like it a little better than the Dark Arts. The Dark Arts one is really good.
And then, of course, the Universal Holiday Parade featuring Macy's with all of the characters will be back. So be sure to pick out your seats early because you're not just going to be able to walk into a soundstage and see everything.
Yeah. They are also going to have holiday meals, special merchandise, beverages around the resort, including in the hotels. More details are there. Is going to be coming out later on. The only thing that I have not seen mentioned yet is the holiday breakfast with the Grinch. No mention, you know, character meals are still suspended at Universal, even though they're slowly bringing them back at Disney. So, you know, stay tuned to see if there's any news on that.
Disney Cruise Line has shared some new experiences for their version of the Oceaneer Club aboard the Disney Wish, and Seth is probably
I'm sighing. I want to be 11 years old again because I saw this announcement, one particular part of this that just made me so jealous of the kids who are going to get to do this.
So we've talked about the Oceaneer Club before in past episodes with the Fairy Tale Hall experience with the princesses and the Marvel Superhero Academy with the Marvel Heroes. But now we have two new experiences added on top of that. Star Wars Cargo Bay and Mickey and Minnie's Captain Deck.
I'll let you guess which one I'm really excited about.
Mickey and Minnie's Captain Deck, for sure. Yeah.
First guess doesn't count.
Star Wars Cargo Bay is a unique kind of zoological take on the Star Wars universe in which younger guests will be taught how to manage and handle a menagerie of Star Wars creatures like warts and porgs and loathcats aboard the cargo section of the ship.
You know, one of my favorite parts of Galaxy's Edge is the creature stall in the Black Spire Outpost Bazaar, where they have little cages with some of these creatures. But, you know, they're adorable, but they're totally non-interactive in the park. This is taking a lot of those and creating an experience where kids don't just get to see these creatures, but actually get to participate in taking care of them. And what's more, there are a possibility that you might need to enlist the help of Chewbacca or Rey in your adventure. Or even use the Force in order to complete your mission and get these creatures safely to their new forever homes. I think it's like the perfect blend of adorableness and also kind of adventurousness that is just perfect for Star Wars.
The one thing I need to know once it gets closer to summer 2022 when the ship launches is if you get to pet.
That's what I want to know, because they showed in the video, they show a very quick clip of a loath cat that's not in a cage or anything. It's just lying there. Like, do I get to pet the loath cat? Because I will lie about my age. I will mortgage my house to book a trip if I get to pet a loath cat.
I mean, they do have family days where adults can go in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, they always have an open house. And I'm sure that will be a very crowded space with all the grown-ups during the open house.
And then in this concept image that we have, there's a Dinoga in a tent.
Yes. In the video, you see him under construction. And they're working the animatronic, making it pop up and down. Very much like the one that's near the water fountains in Galaxy's Edge.
So do you get to feed it? What do they eat?
Luke Skywalker.
Oh, well. That seems a little too macabre for children. And then Mickey and Minnie's Captain's Deck is for toddlers specifically, it seems like. Mickey and Minnie will be in there, which is great for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The room is full of maritime-themed physical and sensory games and activities, pipe slides, crawl-throughs, busy boxes that look like the controls of a ship.
Yeah. Life preferred. In my day, we called that a jungle gym.
Yeah. I had never heard the term busy boxes. I thought it was like those toys that have all of the panels covered in like movable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Toys. I think that's what probably is. All the gears and knobs and stuff that kids can fiddle with. Yep.
And then the signature offering will be Minnie's Captain Academy, where you go through a series of maritime drills, dancing, and games.
Man overboard.
And then
Fire below deck. Abandon ship. I don't think it's going to be those kind of drills.
No. And then Captain Minnie will be judging your progress, or your child's progress, I suppose, and then declare them honorary captains.
Aww.
Which is sounds very cute, but also yes. If you have a super headstrong toddler, they will go straight to their heads.
Yes, they will now think that they get to drive the car on the way home. No. No.
And then we also got to look at some of the teen spaces on the ship, Vibe, Edge, and the Hideaway.
Mm-hmm. Vibe and Edge are pretty common on all the Disney ships. You've got Edge, which is for tweens 11 to 14, and then the teenagers 14 to 17 have Vibe. And this time they've themed after a New York loft and a Parisian artist's loft. Though looking at the pictures, I'm not exactly sure what distinguishes the New York one from the Parisian one.
The skylight.
Yeah. The Hideaway is the new one, which is kind of like a fusion place. It sounds like it sort of like bridges the gap between the two. And it's for older kids and younger adults. And it sounds like at certain times it could be a nightclub for older people, and that other times it's like a hangout space for younger people. And, you know, the vibe of it will vary depending on what's scheduled in there.
The vibes.
The vibe. The vibe. Yes. So much vibe.
And then, of course, all of this is in combination with Fairy Tale Hall, Disney's Marvel Superhero Academy, mm-hmm. and the Walt Disney Imagineering Lab, the other thing that Seth will
Between the Imagineering Lab and the creature lab, the Star Wars creatures, I don't think I would leave the kids' area. They would have to pry me out of there.
Just shave your beard and dye your hair.
There are plenty of kids who have... What are you talking about? This is I don't look a day over 12. What are you talking about?
Fair enough. The Disney Wish will set sail in summer 2022. I think you're able to book vacations now. There was a whole thing about it.
Yep. I know the initial sailings sold out. You can do a fun little game, compare whether which is more expensive, a 4-day cruise on this boat or a 2-day stay on the Galactic Star Cruiser.
Your mileage may vary.
Yeah, exactly.
Some exciting news for Universal Studios Japan and potentially for the rest of the world in a decade or so.
Potentially, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I just want to dream, okay?
Yeah.
Universal Studios Japan and the Pokemon Company have made it official and have announced a new theme park collaboration to develop new experiences based on the Pokemon franchise.
You know, there have been rumors about Pokemon in the Universal parks forever. And, you know, when the deal was sealed with Nintendo, a lot of people immediately assumed that meant Pokemon came along with it. But they're actually two separate companies. And this deal is kind of a big deal for Japanese fans because it means that something involving Pokemon will be kicking off in Universal Studios Japan starting in 2022. It's super vague about what this is. They don't say it's going to be a ride. They don't say it's going to be a show. They don't say it's going to be a land. It's just a partnership right now. And we don't really know much beyond that. But it's going to be something that will be groundbreaking and that will immerse you in the world of Pokemon in an innovative way.
I mean, looking at the aerial maps for Super Nintendo, I don't think there's anywhere for it to fit.
To an entirely new land, there's now that they're putting Donkey Kong in there, there's not a lot of space, no. Something else would have to go.
Yeah.
And
is it Jaws?
Jaws better not leave before I get a chance to go out there and see it again.
I would literally be so upset.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. I was going to say, if I had to guess, they would start with something small like a Pokemon Center or mm-hmm. a Pokemon Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great because then you could have the characters come out during your meal and it's immersive and it's got the branding and everything, but it's not quite a ride or a land.
Yeah, I would love to see a combination of some, modest merchandise, retail, character meet and greet, but also combine that with maybe a custom version of Pokemon Go that
Ooh.
People could play exclusively in the park, or maybe, an add-on to the existing game so that you could link your current account. But have some version of Pokemon Go that maybe goes even a little further beyond what the app currently offers.
And then if we're talking about rides, they have to build a Pokemon Snap ride. They just have to.
Oh,
It's,
where you ride through with a camera and
yeah,
take pictures?
it builds itself. It's
Yeah.
literally a slow-moving dark ride. You have a camera or an AR thing. You take pictures, and it would be amazing.
That's what Yoshi should have been, darn it.
That's, you know what? You're right.
Yoshi's
Call.
cute and all. Yoshi's fine, but it seems a little boring just based on the videos I've seen. I
Yes.
don't know. I'll wait till I ride in person to judge.
But other than that, it's just a very much we are very excited partnership. This is only for Universal Japan at the time.
But it's a
But
step, if this
yes.
relationship goes well, then that could mean good things for the American parks down the road.
I mean, clearly the Pokemon Company was impressed with what Universal was able to do for Nintendo enough
Absolutely. Yep.
to seal the deal for real. So
For
very
reals.
excited for reals. And then in our last bit of news before the main attraction, tonight we say goodbye.
Pour one out. Pour one out for the big green guy. Shrek
Tiny
is going
violin.
away. 18 years is, to be honest, more than enough for Shrek 4D, which is permanently closing at Universal Orlando in January of 2022. I don't. January 10th is going to be the permanent closure date. You've got a few weeks left. Run out there and experience the wonders of Shrek 4D if you don't already subscribe to Netflix, where you can stream it under the name Ghost of Lord Farquaad. If you basically stream that at home, you can sort of cross your eyes to recreate the 3D effect. If you have one person stand behind you and shake your chair violently, and then have another person stand in front of you and occasionally spit in your face
Oh,
or tickle
nice.
your ankles, it's pretty much the same thing.
Team members working at Shrek 4D will be relocated to new areas of work in the meantime. And along with this closing, the Revenge of the Mummy coaster will be temporarily closing for some refurbishment from January 7th through late summer of next year.
Yeah, it's going to be a big refurbishment. Word on the street is that the whole track's got to be rebuilt.
Oh,
It's
dang.
it's been there for a minute. It's time for that to get a good overhaul. I don't think they're going to be putting the Tom Cruise mummy in there. I think
No, leave Brendan Fraser
Brendan
alone.
Fraser and his cup of coffee better still be around.
He's on the come up now. You can't take him out when he's like at his peak again. Sorry.
So if you're a coaster fan and you're at Universal next year, you're going to have to just ride VelociCoaster an extra time. The big question is what will be replacing Shrek? I know some people are hoping for Secret Life of Pets. I love that off the leash ride that they have in California. I think that would be great if it would fit in the spot. Another possibility would be the DreamWorks Theater with Kung Fu Panda that they put into California in the same spot where their Shrek show was. That would be okay. But the rumor that's making the rounds right now, hat tip to Orlando Park Stop, Alicia Stella, VillainCon,
VillainCon.
walk-through interactive screen-based themed after the Minions movies. So, take for that what you will. Personally, I think that walk-through attractions are hard to do in a theme park environment. To make them effective and also efficient is tough. So we're just going to have to keep an eye on that Shrek space and see what goes in there.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen any of the Minion movies besides the first one.
Yeah. Well, there's only one Minion movie. You mean Despicable Me movies? Yeah. Yes. There's a whole series of Despicable Me movies, and now we have the Minions movies. And a new Minions movie is coming out that is apparently set at VillainCon. It appeared in a previous film, which happens to take place in Orlando. It would be a good fit.
Super meta.
Yep.
And before we get to our sponsor read and the main attraction, we have a super chat from Super Wayne Wallace, the best villain eater, for $5. Hi guys, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Well, I think I am going to be a white middle-aged podcast host, because I think I can pull that costume together pretty quick. I gotta tell you, I spent so many years either running haunted houses or performing in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, or other things where I was basically working for Halloween. I have not just bought a costume and dressed up for Halloween personally in 20 something years. I might find a pair of devil horns and stick them on, and that's about as far as I go. Sorry. But thank you for the tip and for the question.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think I might do a closet costume of Paddington.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
But that'll be the extent of it. It's just like clothes I already have in the blue and red color blocking.
Are you gonna go with a full fur bear suit, or is this more Paddington bounding?
Paddington bounding, okay. I think it is the way to put it. No sandwiches under my hat, though.
Okay, no more really.
That sounds gross.
That gets sticky.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's go ahead and have a quick word from our sponsor.
Let's do it.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort? Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
And this week's main attraction, of course, is Disney Genie, but not just Disney Genie, but all of the new details that have come out.
Folks, hold on tight. If you are not confused by what we talk about, you are not paying attention, because between the two of us, we have read or written dozens of articles about this, press releases, blog posts, hands-on demo videos. I still can't answer all the questions of exactly how this is going to work and what it's going to be like. We've got more information, but it's one of those things that, like, the more we know, the more we know we don't know.
Yeah.
So let's jump into it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the most important date you need to know is October 19th, because that's the day that everything changes at Walt Disney World. We do not have a date yet at Disneyland, but October 19th is the day that the four parks at Walt Disney World will implement Genie Plus, and you will be able to purchase Genie Plus if you are visiting the park on that day, starting just after midnight for Walt Disney World guests.
I have a friend that's actually going on a Disney trip, and the 19th is the day that he gets there.
Oh boy, lucky him. We should clarify that there are multiple things that are kicking in on the 19th. The first is Disney Genie, which is totally free. It's a complimentary service, and it's new features that are going to be enabled inside the Walt Disney World My Disney Experience app. Basically, it's going to take a lot of the existing things like the wait times for the rides and dining reservations and kind of all pull it together so that you'll be able to plug in what your personal interests are, and it will suggest an itinerary for you and then also help you with things like mobile ordering food at the right time. So that's all going to be free starting on the 19th. But also on the 19th, you're going to be able to start paying for Disney Genie Plus and Lightning Lane. You want to dig into what Disney Genie Plus involves?
Yeah, so all right. Disney Genie Plus is a paid service that will allow you to choose your arrival times for attractions and experiences through the My Disney Experience app, similarly to FastPass Plus and MaxPass over at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. It is $15 a day at Walt Disney World and $20 a day at Disneyland, though it hasn't launched yet, but that mm-hmm. price difference is important. Yep. And the service at Walt Disney World, if you buy into it, it comes with video and photo AR filters and short audio tours while you're in the park, but no free PhotoPass downloads, which the Disneyland one does come with.
Yeah, so, and I think that free PhotoPass is probably worth that extra $5 a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the attractions on Disney Genie Plus, there's a lot of them, but they're basically what you would expect through FastPass offerings in the past. For Magic Kingdom, it's Big Thunder, Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger Spin, Dumbo, Haunted Mansion, Small World, Jungle Cruise, Mad Tea Party, Carpets of Aladdin, Mickey's PhilharMagic, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, Peter Pan's Flight, Pirates of the Caribbean, Splash Mountain, Barnstormer, Winnie the Pooh, Tomorrowland Speedway, and Under the Sea Journey of the Little Mermaid.
Want me to jump in so you can rest?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's do them. Epcot, the Genie Plus attractions are the Disney Pixar Short Film Festival. Do not necessarily recommend using it on that. Journey to Imagination with Figment, Living with the Land, Mission Space, Green or Orange, Soarin' with Around the World, Spaceship Earth, Test Track, Seas with Nemo and Friends, Turtle Talk with Crush. Then over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, you've got the Alien Swirling Saucers, Beauty and the Beast live show, Disney Junior Play and Dance show, Frozen Sing-Along show, Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular when it returns, Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, Muppet Vision 3D, Rock and Roller Coaster, Slinky Dog Dash, that one surprised me a little,
yeah.
Star Tours, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, and Toy Story Mania, and finally over at Animal Kingdom, slightly shorter list. All you've got there is Festival of the Lion King, Dinosaur, Tough to Be a Bug, Kali River Rapids, Kilimanjaro Safaris, Navi River Journey, The Animation Experience, and Feathered Friends in Flight. Big breath.
Now, I know you're thinking there are some rides missing on that
mm-hmm.
list.
There sure
and,
are.
And guess what? It's going to cost you.
Yep. So, the big news is it's not going to cost quite as much as I think some people had feared. In addition to the attractions that are included with Genie Plus, we've also got attractions that are Lightning Lane individual attraction selections. Big long word. Basically, yeah, all of the old FastPass lines are now called Lightning Lanes. Most of the Lightning Lanes you can get in with the Genie Plus daily fee. But there are two attractions at each park where you need an individual Lightning Lane selection or an a la carte purchase to access the Lightning Lane. And those are going to cost between $7 and $15 a day. It can change from day to day. It won't change from hour to hour. Whatever the price is in the morning, that's what the price will stay all day. But they can run out. They can sell out. Why don't you tell the good folks which attractions are covered by those individual Lightning Lanes?
All right. So for Magic Kingdom, it's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Space Mountain. For Epcot, it's Remy's Ratatouille Adventure and Frozen Ever After. For Hollywood Studios, it's Rise of the Resistance and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And for Animal Kingdom, it's Avatar Flight of Passage and Expedition Everest.
Yeah, a couple of those surprised me a little.
Yeah.
I actually thought the Kilimanjaro Safaris, not Expedition Everest, was going to be there. And I thought Slinky Dog Dash, not Runaway Railway, was going to be on that list. So The first thing to know is that all of these are optional. There is always going to be either a standby line or, in the case of Remy's, a virtual queue that you can try to get into if you don't want to pay extra. But if you do choose to pay extra, here are some caveats to keep in mind. In a lot of ways, this is very similar to the old FastPass and MaxPass system, but there are a couple big changes that you need to be aware of. Number one, it is no longer unlimited. If you get a FastPass for something once in the day early in the morning, and then there's still more FastPass for that, I'm sorry, FastPasses, Genie Plus or individual attraction lightning lanes available later in the day, you can't have one. It is one time per day per person. That means that, you know, you could in theory ride Star Wars Rise of the Resistance twice in a day, once by purchasing a lightning lane and once by waiting in the standby line. But you can't purchase or get a Genie Plus reservation for the same attraction more than once in a day. So if you're going to a park that's only got a few lightning lane attractions, you might burn through all of those before the day is out. Number two, you don't get to pick your time with the Genie Plus. You are assigned the first available slot. So that means that if you are getting up at 7 a.m. to punch in, you know, to get the first lightning lane reservation of the day, it's very likely that you'll be getting something that's right around park opening, where if you had rope dropped that ride, you probably would have waited about the same amount of time. And now you've burned that that lightning lane entitlement for the day, and you can't use that again later. So that's something to keep in mind. You can't choose your time. You can't change your time. You can't cancel your time. Once you've bought a time, it's yours, and there are no refunds. Everyone in your party has to have it. You can't have, say, well, we have it for seven people. We've got an eighth person. Can they just tag along? No. Cast members do not have leeway. They can't make magic moments for you when it comes to Lightning Lane. The big thing that is a big question mark for me right now is if you get a Lightning Lane return time that is far in the future, apparently more than 2 hours in the future, then you will be able to get another one. But it seems like that new one is going to have to be sooner than the one you already have. Back in the day with MaxPass, you were able to kind of stack up return times in the late evening by just always picking the latest available attraction. And then you could leave the park for a while and come back and have a whole bunch to use back to back to back. Doesn't seem like you're going to be able to do that here. You're going to have to, if you pick a later one, you're then going to have to pick an earlier one. So I'm going to have to stop talking right now and breathe. But obviously, it is a big, complex, complicated program. I've now written two books about it, and I still don't understand it.
I mean, our publisher, Matt, recently went and did a demo of it in person, and he said he was still confused by
yep.
it. So,
yep.
to be honest, reading it, it seems like it's another language just being bombarded at my brain. I didn't even think about rope dropping as a concept
yeah.
with this
yeah.
at all.
You know, it's interesting. In Disneyland, you can only start making reservations once you enter the park, which I actually kind of like. That's the way MaxPass always worked. At Disney World, those open up at 7 a.m. So if you're there on a peak day and things get snapped up, you know, by the time the park opens, you might not be able to get necessarily what you're looking for. So I think this kind of expands that having to wake up at 7 a.m. and look at your smartphone from, you know, just the people who are doing Rise and the Resistance and now Remy's. Now it's going to be everyone is going to be waking up at 7 a.m. to look at their phone.
And I know that was your favorite thing to do. I'm really interested to see how this works as far as like planning a day, because it seems like this is super like flexibility with a capital F. You just have to go with the flow with everything because you can't choose mm-hmm. your times.
Yep.
And you can't necessarily stack things up like you could with FastPass, where you had yep. three a day.
Yeah. For the super planners, for the hardcore people who know exactly what they want to do every minute of their vacation, FastPass Plus was great, and they were probably going to be very feel a lot of anxiety about this new system. Personally, I loved MaxPass at Disneyland.
Same.
I'm not crazy about some of the changes that have been made, specifically like that two-hour rule. But I think that once we learn to adapt to it, you know, for the people who are not the super planners, this system can actually make your day a lot easier. At least it did for me at Disneyland. There were days at Disneyland where I was able to easily knock off every e-ticket, even when it was busy, and not feel rushed. So I'm hoping that, you know, once the kinks are worked out, they will be able to fall into that groove with this new system. And we'll all consider Genie Plus our friend.
Maybe. There was another thing that I was wondering, and it just left me. So
I want to point out our friend Brian in the comments mentioned, I have not seen this released anywhere officially from Disney, but apparently Carly Wiesel was able to get some details out of Disneyland about Genie Plus and Lightning Lane. According to her, only three attractions at Disneyland will use the individual attraction Lightning Lane. That's Spider-Man at California Adventure Rise of the Resistance. And I'm not sure about Remy. I think he might have meant Raider Springs Racers, because there is no Remy at Disneyland as far as I know. Yeah, and I also have heard this change at Spider-Man. Spider-Man may be switching over to standby on certain times instead of their virtual queue. Hopefully that means that they've been getting the capacity up and that virtual queue is a little less necessary. So, but that will definitely be a Lightning Lane option.
Yeah, some of these choices for the individual attraction selection, Lightning Lane, mm-hmm. and the regular Disney Genie Plus are interesting, because some of these rides, I feel like, would need Lightning Lane to abate those long lines that they're known for.
Mm-hmm. Like, which one were you surprised is under Genie Plus and not individual Lightning Lane?
Smuggler's Run, even though that's like a C ticket, it's new.
Yeah, it does have pretty good capacity, though. Certainly better capacity than Rise of the Resistance.
And
the single rider line also helps keep the standby line down.
And then Slinky Dog, and then just from my own experience working in the parks, Pirates.
Oh.
That line is always busted.
Slinky Dog, that's the one that surprised me, because that is probably the e-ticket with the lowest hourly capacity at Hollywood Studios. You know, Pirates was designed to be a people eater. Pirates should be able to move 2,500 people or more through an hour. I know there have been issues with loading and with the boats, and but, you know, that should be, you know, back in the day, Pirates should be one that you don't wait more than half an hour for at any time.
And then I just remembered what I was going to ask. What happens when we open Tron and Guardians?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I have to think that Tron is going to take the spot in Magic Kingdom. And Guardians...
Or will they just add them to Lightning Lane?
I really think that as long as they're restricting you to two Lightning Lanes per day, I don't think they want more than two Lightning Lane attractions per park. I predict that Tron will definitely siphon off a lot of Space Mountain's line. So Tron would swap out for Space Mountain. And I would think that Guardians of the Galaxy will probably swap out with maybe Frozen Ever After. Though, you know, Frozen Ever After is always going to have very limited capacity.
Yeah.
Remy's, honestly, like, I don't know if they're going to need... individual attraction Lightning Lane and virtual line at Ratatouille long term, because they've just been putting people through there. It's been operating really efficiently. Every time I've been there, like even if the full outdoor queue, you know, is in use, I still haven't waited more than 20 minutes.
That's not bad at all. No. Brian has another good question. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway at Disneyland, which is going up in Mickey's Toontown.
Yeah.
Genie Plus or Lightning Lane?
My guess is right now, I don't think that they've announced a second attraction. Right now, Rise of the Resistance seems to be the only individual Lightning Lane attraction in Disneyland Park. So I would think that Mickey and Minnie's Railway is a good candidate, especially considering that it's individual Lightning Lane at Hollywood Studios.
I think it'll be interesting to see the kind of the timeline, the pipeline from Lightning Lane to Disney Plus or Genie Plus. Sorry, there are too many pluses.
So many variables. You know, the big variable for me is what is the adoption going to be for this on annual pass holders or Disneyland Magic Key holders? In the old days, Disneyland, you could just add Magic Max Pass on permanently to your annual pass. Annual pass holders are really good at learning how to maximize that system. Now that, first of all, Magic Key holders are having a lot more trouble getting reservations into the park. And they, when they are in the park, they're going to have to pay full price every single day. I'm wondering if that means that this will be more something that the tourists and the day guests use as opposed to the locals.
Or if we could ever see an add-on like MaxPass on the Disneyland annual pass. You pay like $100-something to add it on to your pass at both parks, and then it's
There. I think the trouble right now with asking people to pay any kind of add-on for their Magic Key when, you know, people who have the top tier still, you know, can't get in on the weekends or even most weekdays for a month at a time. Prepaying for something that you're not even sure you're going to be able to use is hard.
Yeah. We'll have to see if it's truly a capacity issue or if they're just kind of under limiting capacity for the
day. Well, you know, the it all comes down to what the ratios are. You know, we know that when FastPass Plus was in full swing at Disney World, they would sometimes let in, you know, 9 or 10 FastPass people for every one standby person. They're going to want to move people through the Genie Plus or the Lightning Lanes quickly because they've paid for it. But I think that they're going to want to keep it low enough that it doesn't send the standby lanes back to the crawl that they were before.
Yeah,
it's going to be a really tricky balancing act.
We shall see how it works. I'm sure you will be there, if not on.
Unfortunately, I will be. Yes, I'm sure that is my destiny.
And then you'll have to give us the full report.
I'll come back and report.
I'm very excited to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
But that's everything that we had.
Thoughts and prayers to all the guest services cast members who will be working on that day.
Yes. And prayers. Please be nice to cast members, by the way, especially if you have to go to guest services.
It's not their fault.
They are just trying to do their jobs. Be nice to them.
Please.
Thank you. I'm off my soapbox now. And before we go, I just wanted to remind you that we have our fall issue available in the Attractions store right now. It's at attractionsmagazine.com/store. We also have many subscription options for you to choose from. And Seth, if you would continue onward.
This is the time where I get to thank our sponsor. Once again, Destinations with Character Travel. Please go check them out. And please also go over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review too if you've got something positive to say. And please keep sharing the word about Attractions Magazine and our podcast with all of your friends who are into theme parks, or even if they aren't into theme parks, just tell them how personable we are.
Yeah.
And if you want more from our personable selves during the week, you can find me over at theunofficialguides.com, on Twitter at @theugseries, and at theunofficialguides on Instagram. And Brittany, where can they find you?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the past hour and some change. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.